As you know, we're in His Footsteps is our theme for this year, and this month is His Great Love. And the topic of this last one of this month is Christ in us. Christ in us. What does it mean to have Christ in us? How do we perceive that? How do we understand that? Because, you know, you and I have this world where we have a first name and a last name, and too many times we will say Jesus Christ and think, is that his first name and his last name? You know, it's easy to look at it that way. But it's Jesus the Christ, all right? So what's the definition of Christ? Who knows that name? What does Christ mean? Sorry? Messiah, okay? Messiah. So Christ in us, Messiah in us. What does Messiah mean? Savior, Savior. To have the Savior in us. What does that mean, to have the Savior in us? It should be transformative for each one of us. Last week, I talked about eternity. Last week, I talked about the gift of eternity. And I finished with this one passage of John 17:17. And I left you sort of hanging on this passage because I wanted to pick it up again and bring it into this week. So it said, John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, that's Jesus talking about as he's praying to the Father, as Jesus saying, Heavenly Father, sent me, Jesus, into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself. In other words, being cleansed. Now, your question is, should Jesus be cleansed? Because he had no sin. But he's setting apart. Jesus was setting himself apart that they too may be truly sanctified, that you also are set apart. Jesus sets himself apart so that you will be set apart. By you being set apart means that there is something in you that has changed and transformed. That is the Savior in you. Now let's look at that a little bit deeper. And you mentioned this morning, God is love. Remember Helen talked about this a few weeks ago, that all these padlocks, love, showing that there is love. God is love. We agree with that. He's not just loving, God is love. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. He's not just love, but there's more. I had a conversation at the this week where I'm doing the Bible study at the Pines, and I've got quite a few older people in my Bible study there. It is an aged care facility. And one of the gentlemen said quite simply, God is love. He didn't have to bring Jesus to the cross. He can do anything, is that right? God can do anything. And I said, yeah, God can do anything. That's true. So why didn't God just simply say in his power and majesty just to deal with sin straight out? I said, yes, God is love, but God is also just. And now we have to look at that balance. God is love, yes, but God is also just. And then we have to deal with that. Helen and I had a dog for a number of years, and our dog was sometimes sometimes would run around in the bush and would roll herself in something that we did not know what it was, but it stunk. It was brown, it was gooey, and it was on her shoulders, and she thought it was the best. And it stunk. And she thought it was okay to come inside the house. We, on the other hand, did not think that was a good idea. And so we had to wash her before she could come into the house. And she did not like to lose her perfume or to be washed. But when we washed her and cleaned her, and she was welcome into the house. See, sin is something that we all struggle with. I'm not saying the act of sinning, I'm saying sin is an identity. I want you to understand this. Sin is an identity. We are born into this world and we become sinners because it's an identity that we have. Do you understand this? Often we see sin as an action, but we need to understand sin is an identity. And when we understand identity as sin, we know that there's something that's tainting us. Sometimes I've sat in Alcoholics Anonymous up here. We have it on Wednesday night. They invite me every now and then. And they go around the group. And the group will say, "Hi, I'm Brian, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, I'm Sally, I'm an alcoholic." Well, I'm not an alcoholic. So when it comes to me, I say, "Hi, I'm Ben, I'm a sinner." And they know that I'm the pastor of the church. So they burst out laughing. But it's an identity. It's something that we carry from birth. It came through the fall. So in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." So as a sinner, as sin tainted on me, the wage of that is death. I showed you a picture last week of the thought of Adam and Eve in that garden place where the fall had come, where sin had now come on humanity, and sin now is part of each one of us, and it becomes an identity that we carry. Jesus was sent to come along, and as he is sent was to help us understand our identity and also to change that and remove that identity in a place of justice. I was fascinated when I looked at pictures to do with judgment and justice. When I looked at the judge and the hammer, that a number of pictures also had the scale balance, the reconciling. And I thought that was fascinating that the two go together. So we talk about God being loving. We also need to see God as just. Just means reconciling, reconciliation, putting it in place. Only justice can come through some way as a judgment. So we read this, "For the wages of sin is death." And the second part of that one verse, which is Romans 3:23, is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So the wages of death is sin. Our identity is sin. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. So if we look at ourselves as a cloth, in this place, born into this world, identified as a sinner, with the beauty and the grace of Jesus' forgiveness, we become purified. Amen. Not because of what we have done, but because what Jesus has done for us. He has reconciled the balance. Yes, God is loving, but God is just. And in his justness, there had to be some reconciling, reconciliation, and it comes through Jesus. There's an intimacy that takes place. I've talked about this over these last 3 weeks as I've brought a message. There's an intimacy that Jesus is talking to his Father in prayer with the disciples there in the room, talking about such deep understanding of who he is, what's happening, and what's happening for his believers, his followers, his disciples. Now, bringing all that together, God is loving, God is just. Bringing that together in this personal aspect, we move on from John 17:20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. The disciples now carry a message. They've been reconciled through Jesus. They've been reconciled. They carry a message. You and I carry a message through Jesus. We've been sanctified, set apart through the justification that Jesus brought. I know these are big words. I pray that they will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Jesus is saying we are one. We are meant to be one because his Spirit is in us, each one of us. To be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. See this intimacy that Jesus is saying, talking about him, his Father, the disciples. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. See this tying together. I in them. That's Jesus in us, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. The church should be unified. You and I should be unified. We should see there's a battle of evil out there, and we're unified in this war against this place of evil. We should be unified. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have loved me. Father, Abba, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Oh, isn't Jesus longing to show himself more than just as a man? Isn't Jesus wanting to show? I want to show you who I am. I often reflect on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus is up on that mount. We got Moses and Elijah there. The disciples are there. And there's just this moment where Jesus just, it's almost like opened up his like the Superman suit. Not that he's Superman, he's greater than that, of course. But just that moment of glory. It's almost like Jesus goes, I just want to show him a little bit of who I am. Show the glory that you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Hear that? Again? Before the creation of the world. See how Jesus is just rolling these words off in prayer with his disciples listening before the creation of the world. Righteous Father. Righteous. Being a justifying Father. Though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Do you read that? That I myself may be in them. His Spirit is in you. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, His Spirit came into you, His Holy Spirit sent for you, maybe in you. This is intimacy, again, intimacy. This thought that God is out there too far, too big, too hard to understand is saying, I want to know you personally and I want to spend time with you personally. I want to be in you and I want to have unity with you. Amen. Do you understand that? So quickly do we see a God of justice and follow the laws and follow the rules and you'll be all right if you are self-righteous by following all this. And Jesus is saying, yes, I'm just, but I'm loving and I want to be in your life. And I want to be next to you. I want to be there for your highs. I want to be there for your lows. And I want to be there for everything. Intimacy. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty here or freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Where did Jesus just say the Spirit of the Lord is going to be? In you. There's a freedom in you. But we all with unveiled faces, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This reference, the reference to this veil is a reference to Moses. What happened to Moses on the mountain? Anyone? Sorry? He met with God, right? What happened to his face? It shone. Like glory. They couldn't talk to him. He had to put a veil over his face because he was too bright. The glory of the Lord. He's saying here, we with unveiled face, beholding in as a mirror of the glory of the Lord, we should be reflecting something of the presence of the Lord Jesus in us. We are like a mirror, seeing that mirror image of God coming through us, being able to see what's going on. We need to be in this place where we're mirroring the glory of the Lord through us, transformative in us. Anne gave us a story this morning. A man who was chained to his bed, who was diseased, ready to die or being brought to that place where life was no hope anymore. And yet she felt like God was saying, come and worship over him. You don't know how significant that is, Anne. You have no idea what it meant for this fella. But God was asking you to be the mirror of him to this person. Amen? To be the mirror. God is asking you and I to be the mirror of his goodness, to mirror what he's doing for each one of us. Why is the moon so bright? Because of the sun. Because the sun is going onto the moon and we see the moon because it's being mirrored. Jesus is saying we are to be the same, mirroring that in our own lives. So how do we mirror? How do you see something in somebody else? How do you mirror being in this place where Jesus is in the center of your journey? Well, we understand through Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. So many people will come to me and say, this person or that person, their journey or their life. And my first question is, do they display the fruit of the Spirit? Do they display the mirroring of what God has for each one of us? Do they love? Are they loving? Are they a loving person? Do they carry joy? I'm not talking about happiness, although that's nice. I think happiness is an outworking of that joy, that confidence, the joy within. Are they peaceful when you're with them? Are you like, oh, or are they peaceful people? Doesn't matter what circumstance. Because again, there's confidence coming in because they're mirroring that Jesus is in them. Do they have patience under trial? Do they have patience? I like to put confidence next to every single one of them. Love, are they confident in their love? Do they have that joy? Are they confident in that joy? Are they confident in their peace, confident in patience? Are they kind people? Or is everything they say just so unkind or so critical of everything? Do they have goodness about them? Are they faithful in what they say, how they act, how they treat others, the words that they keep? Are they gentle? Are they gentle in their nature? And do they have self-control? All of that coming together. As I said, this confidence that comes through, this mirroring of who Jesus is in your own journey. It says, against such there is no law. Against these there's no law. Is there a law against any of these? Are they good to have? Do we seek people with these? Isn't that what Jesus is asking us, to carry these gifts, to mirror them to others? There is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. As we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Jesus is saying, come, walk in his footsteps. Come and mirror who he is. Come and live as he lived. Come and know that there's such an intimacy that God wants directly with you. You should be mirroring a confidence. Christ in you, salvation in you, the message in you is to be mirrored and shared with others. Jesus said, come and follow me, learn from me, live in me and lead others, mirror what is in you for others. Is God loving? Yes. Is he just? Yes. Has he saved you? Yes. Is your identity still a sinner? No. Your identity is you are the son or a daughter of the Most High God, and you mirror that. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing all this together. You are loving, yes. You are just, yes. Reconciliation comes through what you have done. Our identity is not as a sinner anymore. Our identity is that we are sons and daughters of you, and you want to intimately come alongside us, and you call us to mirror your goodness, your wonder, your good news with those around us. I pray, Lord, that you help us do it more effectively, that we're able to die to ourselves and become closer and more like you. Allow the gifts of the Spirit to be so centered in our own lives, and so we are in such a way that we are glorifying you as you glorify your Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.